Here's Steve Phillips, our Blue Jay and MLB analyst. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great. That's why I do not break stories, because you know what? You're wrong, or you jump the gun, or you misspell the name, or you do all of that at once. You can get ridiculed for the rest of your life. And so I just assume that everybody else break the stories and talk about the stories that they're breaking.
Yes, I think that's reasonable. And before we get to what Judge did yesterday, Gerrit Cole, the Yankees in general, even the AL East in general, I think the five teams collectively put up 38 runs on the board yesterday. That's a lot of offense to start the season. What'd you make of Alek Manoah? Not necessarily the start, where we all know what happened. He got lit up. But after the game, he suggested that it was simply bad pitches that got hit, and he can rectify those. Are you buying that explanation?
Well, I mean, I think that's not unreasonable for a bad start to consider. It didn't seem to me that his stuff was as crisp as I've seen it before. But, you know, you're coming through spring training, and a guy comes out of it, and, you know, it's nobody comes out. I tend to dismiss the first time out for guys, good and bad. I don't make a whole lot of it either way. But, you know, he's going to have to make those adjustments overall. And the other thing is, it's a really good offensive team. I mean, they are a top-flight offensive team. And so, too, are the Jays. And I think that's what we saw in that game, was two really good offenses slugging it out. And I think that, you know, it shows the firepower for both teams. It shows the relentlessness for both teams. But, you know, Manoah has to get better. He will. And, you know, I mean, the best of the best have had clunkers. Sometimes not always on opening day, but sometimes they are. And so I think he deserves the reasonable doubt for now. And if if a couple of these start to crop up, then my first question is always health more than anything else. Is he healthy if the ball's not coming out of his hand the same way?
Steve, the team had, I don't know if you would agree or not, but it just kind of a different vibe to it. It just seemed a little bit kind of veteran savvy, more serious. I don't know. I know yesterday was kind of a coin flip. It was throw away the tape game, and they ultimately got the job done. But did you kind of like the overall vibe of what you saw out there? Because I did.
I did. I think there's a level of maturity. The Jays are one of those teams that just because it's a year difference in the calendar turned over, they're going to be better because, you know, mature baseball players look at the world differently. You know, they don't overreact to the slump. They don't overreact to the bad day. You know, a lot of times with young players, they react and then they want to fix everything right away and think there's something wrong. And next thing you know, they've compounded the problem. And so there is a level of maturity, I think, that's existed. They've seen a lot. They have maybe not seen it all. You know, there's this thing in baseball that inevitably every time I think I've seen everything, I see something else, you know, I saw Rafael Devers strike out yesterday on a 2-2 count by not getting in the batter's box in a called third strike in the eighth inning of a game where they scored three runs and they ended up losing 10-9. Never in my life would I thought I'd have seen it, but I did. Mm-hmm. And, it's not the last time we're going to see some of that stuff, but, you know, I think that for guys who have been around for a bit, you know, there's a reaction you have to everything that you see, and then you start seeing the same thing again, and you're like, oh, I've been there before, I know how to handle it. I think they're at that stage right now.
Steve, overall impression of the ripple effect for the pitch clock?
Well, I think it's great. I mean, there were 13 violations yesterday. I think it was 8 with pitchers, 4 with batters, and 1 with Pete Alonso, you know, to lollygag and get back to first base, getting his teammate Jeff McNeil a strike added to it, where he didn't, on a foul ball, he started running, and then it was foul, and he walked back to first, and it took him too long. And so, but I think overall the pace of play is good. It shaved 31 minutes off of the first game's opening day games compared to last year's opening day games. Last year, the average was, 3 hours and 12 minutes, and I think this year it was, 3:31 or something like that, and so 3:41, and so I think it shaved off a bunch of time, and it's not just the length of the game; it's the time between the action, you know. And then I look at, okay, well, the batting average on the first day of games was .252 this year. Last year it was .220 on the opening day of games, and we also saw 21 home runs hit yesterday and 21 stolen bases happened. And on opening day last year, there were 11 stolen bases. It was 6 out of 11 successful. This year was 21 out of 23, a 91.3% success rate. You know what it means? It means they're going to try stealing a lot more, because the last year the average was 75.4%. And I know that, look, I know you guys both were told that math wasn't necessary for this segment, but I thought I'd bring my math with me just in steady case. But what is going to happen is we had twice as many stolen base attempts, and the success rate was still well above any number that would cause people not to try it. And so I think that everything we wanted to see from the new rules were put in place yesterday, and they had an immediate impact.
Steve, Springer's so important. You could see that from his effort yesterday. Is there anything you can do to help the guy stay healthy? I was talking to Brian this morning about him and Kiermaier, and it's like, great players, but the key is staying healthy. Are you just, as an organization, fan base, just crossing your fingers with those two guys?
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, it's not a matter of overusage that wears him down. It's a matter of impact. They're acute injuries. You know, he's diving into a wall. He's crashing into the wall. He's colliding with somebody. He just plays with such reckless abandon. And I, for some guys, you know, Bryce Harper was that way early on, and he's pulled back a little bit where, and I think for Springer, you know, I want him to play hard, but I also want him to understand that the Jays need him, and he's a better team with them, and we would much rather, and I think maybe he needs to be given permission, that you don't have to go after a ball in a way that puts your body at risk, and we're going to be okay with it. Nobody's going to judge you because, you know, you making that play and being out for 2 weeks is not worth it to us. We'd rather you let that ball fall in, let the ball play it off the wall instead of crashing into the wall, but still be alive to be able to play tomorrow, and that we're a better team for it. And so I used to, Mike Piazza, when I was Mets GM, you know, our seasons depended upon him. He was the best offensive catcher in the game and an MVP candidate every year. When there was a player rounding third heading home and Piazza's getting in front of the plate getting ready to block it, and it was back when you could run over the catcher, I was thinking to myself, dear God, Mike, get out of the way. Let him score. I don't care, but we need you to be available for the rest of the season, and I don't want you to put yourself at risk. And so, you know, I it's really hard to send that message to guys. If only maybe to plant the seed that you give them permission to not do it. But there's that innate thing in many of these players that they just go play with reckless abandon, and I think Springer's one of them.
With Steve Phillips, you know, Springer's not a guy that's going to be swiping a lot of bags, but when you look at their lineup and, you know, what you just mentioned a couple of minutes ago about, you know, the pitch clock and the effect it's going to have, the bigger bases, the effect it's going to have on guys at least attempting to steal and likely getting away with it, who on the Jays do you have circled for possibly being a real impact player in that area?
Yeah, I think that Barshow can certainly run. Kiermaier, when he's on, can run. I think Springer can steal some bases. There's no reason why he can't be a 15 stolen base guy. And if it gets you to 20, maybe 20. Because I think that's where the stolen base numbers are going to come in. It's certainly the guys at the top will steal more. I don't know that we're going to get an 80 stolen base player, but I think it's everybody else, that opportunity to run. There was a play yesterday, I think Tyro Estrada stole in a game with the Giants, and he would have been out if the base wasn't 4.5 inches closer. It was bang, bang play. In a year ago, he would have been out, but because of where the bases are now, he was safe. So, Brandon Belt's not going to run with those knees. You know, Vlad, I'm not running Vlad because, I mean, look, I don't mind him being in a position where people fall asleep on it. Albert Pujols used to steal some bases because nobody paid attention. But Merrifield can run. Bichette can run. Espinal can run. Chapman is not the fastest guy in the world. You know, his legs get a little bit heavy sometimes, except when he can field the ball and throw. But on occasion, like I personally would find a time where Alejandro Kirk can steal a base where nobody's paying attention to him. And the results so far, until the numbers tell me it's not worth the risk, then I want to give everybody an open mind about opportunities to take the extra base.
Steve, what's the anxiety level of an executive who hands out a big contract, and I'm referring to Barrios, and you can wipe away year one saying it was, you know, off year, whatever you want to call it. I know there's some patience involved in baseball. It's the long game, whatever baseball people say. But what's the anxiety like the following season, his first start, where it's like, this guy better be dialed in year two?
Gian Barrios, you know, mean, as a general manager, you worry about everything, but you're publicly optimistic. You're optimistic in the clubhouse, you're supportive, you're positive, energetic, but, you know, you've got this pit in your stomach, too, because, you know, you're responsible. I mean, sure, the player is, but I made the decision to bring him in. I made the decision to pay him. And if he's often injured or if he's underperforming, you wear that every day. I mean, it's why my hair is white, is that you wear it. You worry about everything, and you take it so personally, and it's obsessive. And so what you keep reminding yourself is all you can do is to remind the work with the coaching staff, work with the strength people, work with the medical staff. What else can we do? What can we do? Challenge them. And just be there as that person that keeps pushing. Where can we find answers for this? Because what's the alternative? You gave him the money. It's guaranteed contract. You're not releasing a guy the second year into a contract like this. And so you've got to just keep striving for consistency and improvement, but it eats you up inside for sure.
With Steve Phillips, our Blue Jay and MLB analyst. So we were talking about, you know, some of the fan interaction out in California yesterday. The one guy, you know, proposing on the field, the other guy getting into it with Anthony Rendon. But you look at what was going on, you know, on the field, specifically in Oakland. There's a situation where here's Ohtani, who stole the show at the WBC. He's the face of baseball. He's the most popular player in terms of guys you want to see play. And he goes out there, 10 strikeouts, 6 clean sheets, and they lose 2-1. Like, this is what's going to happen again, right, Steve? Like, it'll be the Ohtani and Trout show, and the Angels will finish with 77 wins.
Yeah, I think so. I took the under on them everywhere I could. I think the number, the win total for them was 82.5. And here's the thing, that automatically makes me take the under, because it means they're going to trade Ohtani at the deadline, because they won't be a playoff contending team. So, you know, in the last 2 months they're going to play without him, but this is the story there. And it's the story, I think, for everybody to understand, that baseball is not about one player or two players. Think about A-Rod when he signed with the Texas Rangers. They didn't win anything when he was there. He was the MVP of a last place team and could have done it twice. And so, you know, you need to get a collection of players. It is such a team game. You know, the 26-man roster, it takes a village to win. Who knew that Hillary Clinton knew something about baseball with her book, It Takes a Village to Win, to raise a child. But, you know, it is about a team, and it's about your pitching, and it's about all components of the game, and it's about run prevention and run production, and it's about having quality relievers and depth and balance. And, you know, the Jays last year learned, you know what, they didn't have enough balance, so they tweaked it for this year with more left-handed bats. And before, they also learned they didn't have enough swing and miss stuff. And so you're continuously trying to adapt and adjust and find the right pieces for your team. And the Angels don't do that. They you know, they need pitching, and they sign Anthony Rendon to a 7-year, you know, $35 million a year contract. And it's like they haven't had the vision or the awareness to self-evaluate their own team to know where the needs are and where they need to go to fill it.
Great stuff, Steve. Here it goes, man. We're into day two. It's going to be a great ride. It's always great having you on. We'll do it again soon.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime.
Here's Steve Phillips, our TSN MLB analyst.